The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up from Thursday's News and Observer, a blind man waited hours for his ride. Can Raleigh fix its paratransit system? Article by Anna Johnson, updated August 17th at 10:07 a.m. Clear Tour Davis, that's C-L-E-A-R-T-H-U-R, Davis, was scheduled for an MRI at 7 a.m. He called Go Raleigh Access, a city transit service for people with disabilities, to get picked up. Minutes before he left his home, the driver said they needed to pick someone else up before his appointment. He arrived late for his medical procedure and was told he'd be picked back up in 15 minutes. The appointment wasn't over, he said, and the van sent to pick him up left, leaving him stranded. It just so happened that one of the cabs I ride with said, I know I'm not going to get paid, but you're not going to stand there any longer. I'm coming to get you, Davis said. It's absolutely ridiculous. Davis was one of several blind and low-vision residents who spoke to the Raleigh City Council this week about their problems using Go Raleigh Access after the city changed how it manages calls August 1st. Now Raleigh leaders are apologizing and promising to do better. Our intent here was to provide an upgrade to a system, and we just missed the mark, said Michael Moore, assistant city manager and transportation director. And we're going to get this fixed, he said. We're going to get it right, and I know that everybody on our team is working hard to get that done, and I just can't say I'm sorry enough because I know how much of a lifeline this is for folks. New software. Go Raleigh Access provides curb-to-curb service for people with disabilities who can't use Go Raleigh's fixed-route bus system. The paratransit system, mandated by the Americans with Disabilities Act, averages 1,200 trips a day. It's normally $2 per trip, but fares have been free since the COVID-19 pandemic. The previous software was no longer being updated and faced limited support after it was sold twice in the last 18 months, said David Walker, the city's transportation manager who spoke to the city council Tuesday. The new software is meant to provide real-time trip information to riders and city staff and allow for growth as the city adds transit lines, he said. One of the new features lets people using the system's app see your vehicle approaching, Walker said. What if you can't see? Asked one woman in the audience, prompting laughter from the crowd of blind and low-vision residents. Point taken, Walker said. While things have been improving since the first week, he said the city will work tirelessly to get things back to where they were. I really want to apologize to everybody who has been impacted by this change in service, Mayor Mary Ann Baldwin said at the meeting. It sounds like your lives have been made very difficult by this, and it's heartbreaking to listen to these stories. We will do better, and we can do better, but we must do better. City Manager Marshall Adams-David echoed the mayor's comments. The comments that we heard today are quite frankly unacceptable, she said. Missed appointments. Some people described being disconnected from the phone line to schedule a trip. Others said they'd waited hours for a ride. Some said they are now assigned cab drivers at random and want to be driven by drivers they've come to know. One man, William Massey, described calling dispatch four times while waiting for his ride at Pullen Park. They had the wrong address, he said. My concern about that is not the discomfort of being in a parking lot in the sun for 3 hours and 12 minutes, but not all blind 80-year-olds are in as good health and shape as I am. That could have been a serious issue. On the ride to City Hall on Tuesday, Massey was told he'd be picked up early because two other people needed rides. We rode around for 2 hours, never finding the address of either of the other people, he said. Finally, the dispatcher told the driver to bring me to the meeting. Jeffrey Menko has used the paratransit system for over 15 years and said people have become familiar with those who drive them. They know us, he said. They know what we look like. Denied service. Joseph Gibbs was one of two people with service dogs at the meeting. He's used the paratransit system since 2000 and said it's never been as frustrating as it has been the last 2 weeks. I have been denied access because of my service dog, he said. My wife has also been denied access because of my service dog. And a lot of us do have close relationships with our drivers. And it's a pain having to get in on somebody else's car and you don't know who they are or how they're going to react. It's a violation of the ADA to deny someone service because of their service animal. You gotta wait too long to be picked up, if you get picked up at all, he said. I had to worry about getting back and forth to work because my trips both ways were canceled for the entire month. Some people came to speak to the city council about a different topic, but switched gears after hearing from those facing challenges with the Go Raleigh access system. I came here to talk about proactive policing, said Dawn Blagrove, B-L-A-G-R-O-V-E. Executive Director of Emancipate NC. And I have the perfect solution. Instead of having 15 Raleigh police officers show up to harass people in Southeast Raleigh, why don't you send them to pick up some of these blind folks that are waiting for 4 hours at a time? This story was originally published August 17, 2023 at 5:30 a.m. Also from Thursday's NNO, NC Republicans pass stricter mail-in voting rules, expand scope of partisan poll observers. Article by Kyle Ingram, INGRAM. Updated August 16th at 9:13 p.m. A new law in North Carolina eliminates the 3-day grace period for receiving absentee ballots, bans private money for election administration, and gives poll observers more freedom. By our photo by John D. Simmons. jsimmons@charlotteobserver.com. Dateline Raleigh. North Carolina Republicans approved an extensive elections bill Wednesday, tightening absentee voting rules, empowering poll observers, and instituting a variety of what supporters call election integrity measures. Senate Bill 747's most notable provisions eliminate the 3-day grace period for receiving absentee ballots, ban private money for election administration, and gives poll observers more freedom to watch the voting process. The bill passed the House and Senate on Wednesday night along party lines. It now heads to Democratic Governor Roy Cooper, who is expected to veto it. Republicans, however, have enough votes to override his veto in both chambers. Republicans have argued the changes will increase faith in election security without adding further burdens to voters. The one thing this bill does do is it improves voting in elections for the entire state. Representative Gray Mills, G-R-E-Y-M-I-L-L-S, an Iredell County Republican, said, "It's not killing early voting. We're improving early voting." Democrats charged that the bill chips away at the voting access and could lead to voter harassment by emboldened poll observers who would be allowed to hear conversations between voters and election officials. What we're going to do is we're going to reduce the franchise inch by inch until we look just like some of these other countries that we all ran from so that we could have better lives, the House Democratic leader Robert Reeves said, R-E-I-V-E-S. Representative Pricey Harrison said Democrats had just received a fiscal analysis of the bill on Wednesday, which said it would cost $6 million. No money is appropriated in the bill, and a state budget has yet to be passed with any election funding. Democrats attempted to pass over a dozen amendments to the bill, ranging from gutting entire sections of the legislation to allocating money to the State Board of Elections to ensure certain provisions of the bill could be paid for. Republicans accepted a single Democratic amendment from Representative Allison Dahl, D-A-H-L-E. The amendment created a carve-out in the section banning private money in election administration to allow the in-kind donation of buildings for voting, as well as food and pens for election workers. SB 747 was first passed in June, but lay dormant for several months in House committees before reappearing in an amended version this week. House Republicans made changes to the original bill that removed or softened certain controversial provisions, but left in place most of the main sections. A proposal to institute two-factor authentication for absentee ballots was removed after critics questioned how this could practically be implemented. House members also limited a signature matching requirement to a pilot program only, with the understanding that it could be legislated to become permanent depending on the results of the pilot. The original bill would also have required all voters using same-day registration to cast a provisional ballot. This was replaced with language requiring a retrievable ballot instead, which would allow election officials to find and nullify a ballot if they were unable to verify the voter's address after they registered. Another major elections bill, which would drastically restructure state and local election boards, remains to be taken up by the House. Senate Bill 749 would create an even bipartisan split among these boards and have members appointed by the legislature rather than the governor. It passed the Senate in June, but so far has not moved in the House. This story was originally published August 16, 2023, 9:04 p.m. From blog.wheeltheworld.com. Wheelchair travel. Single-aisle airplanes set to have accessible restrooms. Article by Ethan Godard, Ethan Godard. Dateline August 4th, 2023. Air travel has undoubtedly opened a world of possibilities and exploration, for some, at least. Passengers with disabilities often face significant challenges, such as a lack of wheelchair-accessible facilities, among other things. However, there is a glimmer of hope on the horizon as the U.S. Department of Transportation, DOT, recently announced a new rule aimed at improving accessibility for all passengers. Accessible restrooms on single-aisle aircrafts. For decades, aircrafts with more than one aisle have already been required to have accessible lavatories on board, but the same can't be said for single-aisle aircrafts. On the 33rd anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, the DOT announced its new rule requiring single-aisle planes to provide accessible facilities large enough to accommodate wheelchair users. The Air Carrier Access Act, which prohibits airlines to discriminate against those with a disability, authorized this new proposition and will be implemented over the years. This is a big win for the disability community. One of the other important elements to this proposition is requirements for annual hands-on training for staff members. This will be to assist onboard wheelchair use, stowage, and assisting passengers to and from the lavatory with the wheelchair. Information will also be required within the aircraft and on airline websites regarding accessibility features of the lavatory. Summary of the major provisions. Lavatory must have grab bars, accessible faucets and controls, accessible call buttons and door locks, minimum obstruction to the passage of an onboard wheelchair, OBW, tow clearance, and an available visual barrier for privacy. Retrofitting is not required, but accessibility features are required if lavatory is replaced. Applies to new single-aisle aircraft with more than 125 seats, delivered 3 years after effective date of the rule. That's a long time out. Onboard wheelchair, OBW, must facilitate safe transfer to and from the aircraft seat, have locking wheels, and have adequate padding, supports, and restraints. OBW must permit partial entry into lavatory in forward position to permit transfer from OBW to toilet. OBW must be maneuverable into the lavatory so as to completely close the lavatory door. If this is not possible in the short term, when lavatories are not required to be expanded beyond current measures, airlines must provide visual barrier on request. Airlines must stow OBW in any safe available stowage space. Applies to operators of single-aisle aircraft with more than 125 seats 3 years after effective date of the rule. Annual hands-on training required regarding OBW use, stowage, and assisting passengers to and from the lavatory on the OBW. Information required within aircraft and on airline websites regarding accessibility features of lavatory. Applies to operators of single-aisle aircraft with more than 60 seats 3 years after effective date of the rule. It's about time. According to the DOT, less than 40% of flights in 1991 between 1,500 and 3,000 miles were single-aisle aircrafts. In 2021, the number has increased to 86%, revealing an even greater need for accessible lavatories that every passenger can access. Despite these flights being within the U.S., they can last 4 or more hours, which has previously caused needless challenges for those with disabilities. The challenges for passengers with disabilities. Passengers knowing that they are unable to access the lavatories on board will intentionally dehydrate themselves at times to prevent having to use the restrooms, an issue that can lead to other concerns in and of itself. Traveling can be stressful enough without worrying about being able to access a restroom. Yet today, millions of wheelchair users are forced to choose between dehydrating themselves before boarding a plane or avoiding air travel altogether. Pete Buttigieg, U.S. Transportation Secretary. A recent survey by the Paralyzed Veterans of America, PVA, in collaboration with other disability advocacy organizations, revealed that 56% of individuals with disabilities will simply choose not to fly due to inaccessible lavatories. That's more than half. The consensus shows that the many challenges of facing often undignified, uncomfortable situations for an extended period is enough to not participate in air travel altogether. Fortunately, these barriers are anticipated to be removed in the coming years. Implementation of the new rule. New requirements set forth in a massive industry like air travel does not happen overnight. It will take some time to see full implementation. The DOT has set its regulations for existing and future aircraft outlined below. Future aircraft new deliveries. For single-aisle aircraft with an FAA-certified maximum seating capacity of 125 or more that are delivered on or after a specified date, 3 years after the effective date of the final rule, the rule requires that at least one lavatory on each aircraft must meet the accessibility requirements. Additionally, airlines must ensure that all new single-aisle aircraft with an FAA-certified maximum seating capacity of 125 or more and on which lavatories are provided must include an onboard wheelchair meeting the requirements. Existing aircraft, current planes. Airlines are not required to retrofit the cabin interiors of existing single-aisle aircraft to comply with the requirements. However, if a lavatory or onboard wheelchair on an existing single-aisle aircraft is replaced after a specified date, 3 years after the effective date of the final rule, it must be replaced with one that meets the accessibility requirements. To learn more and read about the complete final rule, click on the hot link. More good news. The current administration has been making investments into infrastructure to ensure increased accessibility. Let's outline some of the major ones below. DOT has awarded billions of dollars through President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law to modernize airport terminals, including adding wheelchair ramps, accessible restrooms, and more. Last December, DOT awarded nearly $700 million through its All Stations Accessibility Program to retrofit old rail and subway stations, adding elevators, ramps, and other improvements. The program, funded through the infrastructure law, is designed to improve the accessibility of transit rail stations, so everyone, including people who use wheelchairs, push strollers, or cannot easily navigate stairs, can reliably access the rail systems in their communities. DOT has begun laying the preliminary groundwork for a potential future rule that would address passengers staying in their own wheelchairs when they fly. DOT is currently working on rules that would require better training for airline staff who physically assist passengers with disabilities or handle battery-powered wheelchairs or scooters. DOT is working with industry, academia, and federal partners to ensure that the vehicles of the future, including automated vehicles, electric vehicles, and associated charging infrastructure, are designed inclusively. Conclusion. The new rule requiring accessible lavatories on single-aisle aircraft is a positive advancement in creating the journey toward achieving inclusive air travel for all. The commitment to enhancing accessibility across the transportation sector, combined with the broader investments in infrastructure, brings hope for a future where every passenger can experience air travel with dignity and without unnecessary barriers. There is still a long way to go, but is a positive step in the right direction. Join our Accessible Travel Facebook group, a place with over 5,400 members where you can seek travel advice, meet other like-minded members, and share travel tips. Ready for an accessible vacation? browse from over 250 destinations worldwide with accessible hotels, activities, transportations, and tours. There is more at a hot link. From scholarshipregion.com, young blind man bags master's degree in law, achieves dream of becoming a lawyer. Dateline, August 11th. A young blind man named Thabang Manamala, that's Thabang Manamela, has finally achieved his dream of becoming a lawyer as he bagged a master's degree from the University of Pretoria, South Africa. Thabang Manamal was at birth partially blind and was diagnosed with glaucoma, which resulted in him losing his eyesight at an early age. He lost a substantial part of his eyesight, but that did not stop him from achieving his dreams. Manamal obtained his first bachelor's degree in international relations and affairs from the University of Pretoria and bagged his second degree in law, LLB, from the same university. During an interview with Soweta Live, that's Soweta Live, he mentioned that he managed to attend classes using a computer, but he found it difficult since he was already used to using Braille, a tactile writing system employed by individuals with visual impairments, including those who are blind, deafblind, and have limited vision. The institution was huge, and I had to share a lecture room with more than 400 people, which was way different from my high school where I shared a classroom with only 12 pupils. I used to rely on Braille, but when I joined UP, I had to fully rely on computers, he said. Manamal added that he would record all his lectures and type up his notes using a computer software program that enables visually impaired people to read text on a computer screen. With time, he was able to adapt to the new environment, and with the help of his colleagues, moving around was easy. There should have been a period in there somewhere. However, with time, it got better, and the institution's disability office helped me to get my way around campus. They also helped me with extra time for tests and exams. I had friends who helped me navigate around the campus, and these days I know all the corners of UP campuses, he said. Scholarships can help you study abroad for free and with many benefits. At Scholarship Region, we keep track of scholarship opportunities around the world so as to inform you whenever they are available. We share a lot of opportunities in our WhatsApp group. Join the group using this link to explore these opportunities. Several scholarship opportunities are ongoing in the U.S., Canada, and Europe. Here are some ongoing scholarships you should check out. Michigan State University Graduate Research Assistant Program for International Students, and a list of several more. Then getting back to the article, the man said another serious challenge he experienced was people's attitudes, which really affected him. There are those who think the quality of what you can give is less important because of your situation, Manamala said. I learned to teach people how to treat me. Never allow people around you to ever think of you through the prism of disability. As a result, ask for and receive as little help as possible from people around you, he added. Now he has bagged his Master of Law, LLM, in Law and Political Justice from the University of Pretoria. In 2022, Manamala was called into the bar as an attorney of the High Court of South Africa. He attributed his success to his mother and grandmother for their support and encouragement. I am delighted to share that I have been admitted as an attorney of the High Court of South Africa. I am indebted to my mother and grandmother for helping me find my feet amidst the storms of life. I am richer for it, he wrote on his LinkedIn. Now the latest posts from coolblindtech.com. Sony unveils PlayStation 5 access controller for enhanced accessibility. Dateline August 13th. Sony has ushered in a new era of gaming accessibility with the upcoming PlayStation 5 access controller. Building upon the foundation laid by Microsoft's Xbox Adaptive Controller in 2018, Sony is committed to empowering gamers with disabilities by revolutionizing their gaming experience. The release of the PlayStation 5 Access Controller marks a monumental leap forward in the realm of gaming accessibility. Sony's dedication to this innovative controller demonstrates a commitment to ensuring that all gamers, regardless of their physical abilities, can participate and thrive in the gaming community. How does the PlayStation 5 Access Controller empower gamers with disabilities? Priced at $89.99, the PlayStation 5 Access Controller boasts an exceptional degree of customization. Gamers can seamlessly adapt the controller to their unique needs by altering button placement, disabling buttons to prevent inadvertent presses, and creating up to 30 personalized control profiles. This allows gamers to tailor their experience, enhancing comfort and control. What distinguishes the PlayStation 5 Access controller from conventional controllers? Unlike previous proprietary practices, Sony has embraced inclusivity with the Access controller. Featuring four industry-standard 3.5mm expansion ports, the controller collaborates harmoniously with third-party accessibility accessories, promoting an open ecosystem that extends beyond Sony's own offerings. How does the PlayStation 5 Access controller compare to the Xbox Adaptive Controller? Although it took Sony nearly 5 years to develop hardware akin to Microsoft's accessible peripheral, the PlayStation 5 Access controller presents several distinct advantages. Priced $10 lower than its counterpart, it offers heightened customization options, including a range of interchangeable button configurations. By contrast, the Xbox Adaptive Controller serves as a central hub for additional buttons, necessitating separate purchases. When can gamers anticipate the availability of the PlayStation 5 Access Controller? The eagerly anticipated PlayStation 5 Access Controller will be available starting December 6th, ushering in a new era of accessible and inclusive gaming experiences for players of all abilities. The introduction of the PlayStation 5 Access Controller signifies an aspiring chapter in the evolution of gaming accessibility. Sony's dedication to innovation and inclusivity has resulted in a controller that empowers gamers with disabilities to engage with their favorite titles on their terms. As this transformative controller hits the market December 6th, the gaming landscape becomes more welcoming and diverse, promising a future where barriers are broken down and every player can fully embrace the magic of virtual worlds. How to search settings on your iPhone on iOS 16, Dateline August 13th. On your iPhone, open Settings. Swipe down from the top of the screen to reveal the hidden search bar. If you want to search for a particular app's settings, select the search bar. Type in the name of the app, select the app when it appears to access its settings. If you want to search for a particular iPhone setting but are unsure where it's located, type in the name of the setting. You will see the location where that feature can be edited. Once you've selected it, it should take you to the appropriate settings. Now you know how to search in the Settings app. Give it a try the next time you're trying to find something on your device. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138 and call that same number to get your tickets to the new Visions Gala.